up, Wyatt?
All right, we're back. The honeymoon's over. Back to work, back to the podcast. I'm a married man. First pod is a married man. But first pod after meeting my co-host in person at Nubs, Tim. How you doing?
Doing great. That wedding was a blast. That was a Duchesne's wedding if I've ever seen one. Right. If you ever see or get to catch this man out on the dance floor, this man's got some moves, bro.
I fucking brought it. I mean, there were tons of people there that were like, I love this side of Alex. Where has this been? And I was like, I don't know. How many times are we on a dance floor? Like, how many times is it my place to be bringing the party? Not often, so I don't. I know my place, and it's usually on the dance floor. But it was a ton of fun. We had Omega, met up with Dynasty Coach. It was the best. It was the best weekend of my life, man.
What did you do with that shirt?
Which shirt? Oh, dude. my best man delivering the best speech of all time. Yeah, let's just say I never throw a shirt away.
But in all honesty, though, it was it was great meeting the people that influence Alex so much, and you can tell that they really care about him, and definitely look to supporting him in any of his endeavors and the successful marriage with him and Ray Trey.
Ray for three, mama douche. Yeah, thank you. Good people. That's what makes it all worth it. But we're back. We're talking football. I don't know. I think we're on like week four when we left off last time or something. Like, it took me like a week or two to get back into the swing of things, and then last week just wasn't right yet.
I literally had to get internet. Yeah. Like, I was like, I could record on my phone, but like that would sound really bad. But my birthday was on Sunday. And we got internet on Saturday, so I got to celebrate a little bit by, you know, putting up TVs and being able to watch some football here. So
nice. Yeah, it was, I think, week four, the last picks that we have in here. So yeah, we're back to it. I mean, things are great. My fantasy teams are actually kind of killing it, except Scott Fishbowl. Holy hell, but is my Scott Fishbowl team bad? I might be the worst team in Scott Fishbowl, honestly. But that's what happens. You take shots in leagues like that, and my shots did not fire. Oh. All right, where are we starting? I want to start today with the Patriots. That's what we do here, right? They beat the fucking Jets again. So they've beaten the Jets and barely beat the Houston Texans. And what I took away from the thumping, the 54-13 thumping that they gave them, as this is it for Bill. They were going to all these trick plays. The storied history of Belichick and the Jets is long. You know how much he hates him, but you're going out there and throwing out all these trick plays and just trying to score all of this against the Jets. Yeah, you're getting it out now, because that is it. That is the last time you're going to have a feel good, absolute ass whooping like that, because you're going to be fired after you guys go 5-12 this year. Or he'll step down. I don't know. But it seemed like he was getting it all out, because he knows that the team that he's assembled is dog shit. Actually, I'm going to say dog food or dog water from now on. I want to try and swear a little less. Sometimes it just comes out. But yeah, I think that they threw out all the tricks because he needed to get one last chub rubbed while he could, because he is about to get real dark. It already is dark. I mean, I think they've only, since they beat the Chargers when they kicked their ass last year, I'm pretty sure he's only beaten the Jets in Houston. Or maybe, I think he beat the Jets one more time and then twice more this year. I don't know. I didn't pull this up. Maybe I should have. Anyways, they've not been good. And also, while we're there, Matt Judon not getting a fine, not getting a suspension, not getting a flag for that hit on Zach Wilson. There's two arguments here. All right. The first argument is, do I want that to be the NFL, or do I think it should be? No, I don't. But the fact is, the NFL, you can't do that to a quarterback. You can't hit him late. You can't bring him down like that and hit him. Like, the point of these flags, the spirit of the rules, is that you protect the quarterback, and they failed to do that there. And thankfully he's only out maybe 2 to 4 weeks, but he came down on that knee and it seemed like he just speared the turf or something. But yeah, I saw a lot of people saying that's football. And yeah, it's the football that we used to watch. It's just not the football of today's game.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Starting with the Judon piece, I agree with you 100%. They need to make this a consistent rule. Even like if we look at the running quarterbacks, they don't get the same protection. And I understand why. Like, if you're running an RPO, there's an opportunity that the quarterback may keep the ball. But there's a lot of times in which they keep the ball and they throw it and they still don't get the protection. So this rule really does need to be less left upon the judgment of the officials and way more enforced, even retroactively if we need to really be consistent. I honestly believe that.
The rule book says it is the ref's judgment. So it's in the rule book that is his judgment call. That's annoying. And anybody who bitches about the refs, which happens all the time, you want less judgment calls. You want them black and white, as clear as it can be. So that is not good. It is in the rule book. It is to the ref's judgment. Now, that's the burden, awful. It's terrible. But what's worse, what's also bad, is that the burden falls on the defender. All right. People say, what was he to do? Or he had, I agree. The defender needs to tackle. His job is to stop you. So, but the burden falls on him. So you need to call it and punish it so that they will be not do it, not try their best not to. Like, I think the QB slide, get rid of the slide. That thing does more damage than it ever should, because the defender's stuck in no man's land. What is he supposed to do? Is he not supposed to tackle and then give the chance that he runs by? No. So he dives at him as the guy slides, because they all slide way too late. None of them know how to slide. They're only the good ones. And they end up getting way more injured than they ever should have if they were just tackled like a football player, like Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, those are two that just come right off the tip of the head there. Yeah, get rid of judgment calls. Get rid of the QB slide. I stand firm on that.
And Taylor Heinicke scored a touchdown. Let's be honest here. He did what he needed to do to avoid getting completely shit canned or bombed in the fucking end zone. So he wasn't touched. It was very clear the intent. The intent was that he was going in to score. He wasn't trying to just not avoid the hit. He was trying to avoid the hit and score. So that's that just blew my, as a Packer fan, that blew my mind. Like, that, I felt dirty after that, to be honest with you. But yeah, going back to Pat's Jets, I honestly think Bill just really hates the Jets. Well, I don't know if it has to do like with when he left and things like that.
Oh, bad blood. Man, GD calling him out for like cheating. There's tons of bad blood. It goes way back.
If we go back to even like him doing the punt formation penalties, where he ran a minute and a half off the clock and didn't have to do anything, like, that was genius. And then to run up 54, throwing the ball with your backup quarterback, that's insane.
Yeah, no, it's long history of him hating the Jets. So he got off. Great. You have your October win against the Jets. I mean, hold on. Let me pull up the schedule. All right. We're going to do this. At the Chargers, loss. At the Panthers, toss up. All right. So at the Panthers and then home against the Browns. They're losing two of those games. All right. At the Falcons, fucking toss up. But these are not gimmies, but none of them are. Home against the Titans. At the Bills, loss. At the Colts, home against the Bills, home against the Jaguars. All right, I'll give you, that's one game where I will give you no questions asked. and they'll probably blow it. And then at the Dolphins. So, like, those are all at best. Like, I don't know if they'll be favored. They might be even against the Panthers. I mean, their Panthers are at home. So, like, they might be like a point and a half, 2 point favorites for the Panthers. At the Falcons, Falcons will probably, it'll be even. Like, they're not going to be favored in like any of these games besides the Jaguars. Like, this is about to get so dirty. It's about to suck. So, Patriots, I hope you guys enjoyed your thumping of the Jets. I thought it was cringy because of all the trick plays we had to pull out. I'm a Patriots fan. I know it doesn't sound like it, but I see things in a different light, I suppose. But let's move on. I guess we could talk about Green Bay not having any wide receivers this week.
Oh, they got Randall Cobb. They're good.
Yeah, they got Amari Rodgers, 65 reception minimum, right?
He catches all the deep balls. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm gonna pull that out. We're almost at week 8 or 9 is what I'm. I don't care. I have some saved bookmarks, and I'm gonna pull them. Good and bad.
Fucking Rodgers, man. I hated that pick so much.
Yeah, that was wild. But this is the biggest Rodgers has been a dog since. I read an article. It said against the Rams in September. We're in 2021, so this was written September 2021. They haven't played the Rams, have they?
Maybe last year. And we played the Rams. I'm not on the team. They play the Rams this year in November in Lambeau.
Yeah, I saw it. It was written September 21st, and he was a 6.5-point dog. I don't know. Weird. Anyways, he's been this before, but they're currently at 6.5-point dogs, plus 225. My terrestrial take of the week is that the Green Bay Packers win this game outright. Moneyline, 225. That's my first pick of the week.
Going against the MVP of the league, huh?
Yeah. Oh no, you're Staff beating up on MVP, Kyler, baby.
Oh no, it's Kyler.
It's probably Kyler right now. But we both nailed it. I mean, those are like the top two guys, right?
Hell yeah, terrestrial takes. I'll say this though, isn't that crazy about Cup? Oh my god, best start of a season ever.
I didn't know that. I know it's better than Calvin Johnson's. He's on pace for to be Calvin Johnson's best year, which is stats insane.
Yeah, what the hell? And Stafford's delivering the goal line shots where he's got to just send it down the line. Those are so tough to throw.
It's almost like he's really, really good.
Yeah. I'll tell you what though, I was really happy to see Campbell pull out all stops versus the Rams. I thought that was really good, except. When you get your second, fourth down in a drive and you're in field goal range, and the whole thought process is that we're dogs here. We need to do anything we can to score points, and you have the opportunity to score points and you don't do it. Stupid.
Yeah. I think we're going to get to that in our weekly best worsts. I know I will. it was adorable. The Lions are adorable, and I know everyone likes to root for them. It's fun to root for somebody that it's like the your girlfriend's friend that's a dude that you know is like no threat. It's like, oh, he's adorable, you know, like there's no threat at all there.
Matt Nagy is head coach. What?
Yeah.
I was listening to Brett Coleman about Matt Nagy. And he's like, there's stuff I can't say because it's sounds like insider information. But he's like, Nagy's definitely getting removed.
Well, the thing is, that's another news item is that Nagy has COVID. You can't remove him while he has COVID, I don't think. There's no way that you can do it until he comes back and sucks a little more. But I don't think there's any way you can survive the optics if you fire him while he has COVID, though. But I don't know. Maybe they do. I just think that would be just a PR nightmare.
Think of the blank headline, man loses job while on leave due to COVID.
Yeah, dude, that's hard to come back from. That's about it. We don't talk to Sean Watson on here.
Nope.
There's the Washington football emails that they want to bring before Congress or something. I'm not well versed in it. I don't like to read things or talk about things that I'm not confident in, because I think that takes away from my credibility and the things that I do talk about. So I think that's it. I think we're going to go to our main event and talk about best worst.
It's time for the main event.
All right. I think this is our second or third week doing it, so I think we're getting the formula down a little bit. I'll let you start off first if you are ready. Player that surprised you this week.
I was thinking coaches. I have to think about my player. Shit.
Well, we can start with coaches. We can start with coaches.
Okay, so I really liked how Campbell started that game.
Yeah.
My feeling on it is that I have they're an 0-7 squad right now, right? 0-7.
Yeah, they have not won. They're last, and my bet is looking good for them. Yeah, picking first.
Absolutely. I think we got to be pretty good, 3-4 or 4-5 on that, because I was down on San Fran and things like that, but that's different. But I feel like Campbell really is getting the buy-in from the players. And I understand like the roster can suck, but I don't think the team is losing because Campbell has been playing poorly or been coaching poorly. I'm sorry. But like, I think there's, if you look around the league, there are certain coaches that like get to their players, like Carroll might have now overstayed his welcome, but when he had buy-in from everyone and everyone knew that they had an opportunity to play, like I didn't see teams play any harder than they did in Seattle. And I feel like you're going to kind of get the same thing with Campbell. It's just if you can kind of get some actual talent there.
Okay. So I got a butt in here. It worked with Carroll because they were winning and he had great talent. And they cycled through it. That shit does get old. And now it's starting to get old. That think Harbaugh, that shit gets old. It works in college. You cycle through players. They don't get tired of it. Now, I see this as even a worse thing for the Lions because they have bought in, because they've played hard. And they're in these games that they have no business being in. And they're still losing. They're still getting their asses handed to him. So that is going to crush them. I mean, the man's crying already. He's already crying. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the last pod, but Dan Campbell's contract details were not disclosed, except that, you know, it was like a 5 or 6 year deal, money not included. And everyone wondered, how does this man get 5 years or six? I forget the one. And I didn't know. And then I finally put it together. No one wanted this job. So Dan Campbell said, I'll be your punching bag. I'll do it. But you're going to pay me for 6 years. Like, I'm going to be out in two because we're going to suck. So you're paying me for six. I think it's worse that they've been playing hard and buying in and still get their ass kicked, because that's going to demoralize professionals.
You better tell me who's got a worse wide receiver core in this league.
Green Bay this week.
Shut up.
Khalif Raymond.
Right in the back. You're going to twist the knife or what?
I don't have any like calls that I thought were great. I do like Dan Campbell, though, being aggressive and doing, you know, going for it. And then I guess we'll get to the worst call, and I'm going to stay right there. I think you are too. And you go for it when you've already gone for it. Like, you're pulling out all the stops. You're going to get your ass kicked. I think the Rams still covered, even though they didn't touch the ball for like 15 minutes. that best and worst in one game for me, Dan Campbell.
Well, to me, honestly, like there was a point in time where I thought they should have taken points on one of the drives, and it would have kept the game. It ultimately would have put the game at three. And instead of having to try to have Goff, you know, drive all the way down, it would have been a kind of a different approach to the last drive to try to tie the game up instead of trying to win the game with the touchdown. So I don't know. I understand that different things would have may have played out, but like, how many times are you going to try to not shake a seven when you're playing craps? You know what I mean? Yeah. And at that point in time, I thought that was just the time to not crap out and actually, you know, take some units home. So
we're all about those units. Suck my unit. let's go to a game that surprised. I'll start.
Oh, I had one more coach thing though.
Give me it.
Shanahan, how the hell do you get away from that inside zone run that's working so well? You literally cut through them like butter on the first drive. What was it? Four plays and they were in the end zone? Four?
Oh yeah, yeah. And then they had one more drive like that later on with
and play it's action. Raining. What do you think you're gonna do with Jimmy G in the rain?
Yeah, not throw to Ayuk, obviously.
Well, you know, Ayuk's a good run blocker.
Yeah, he's filling in for Kittle. that's a great call. I mean, anytime we can fucking talk shit about Shanny, you know I'm here for it. I mean, that Kyle Shanahan, he's so mysterious. Oh, that inside zone's working. I'm going to try throwing it. Oh,
they'll never see it coming.
No, because I'm a Shanahan. Yeah. I hate Kyle Shanahan, dude. Just stop being so mysterious, dude. Just go out there and do just this is that meme of the mom yelling. I think it's the Wamba Jack. So why can't you be normal? And then Kyle Shanahan's the kid in the back just screaming back. That's where I'm at with him.
The opposite of our strengths.
Yeah. All right. Game that surprised. I'll start. Atlanta and Miami. It was just a good game back and forth. I mean, I guess that's what happens with two bad teams. You can get stuff like that. But they executed, and they had – you got a lot of great fantasy productions. I think Tua was the QB one this week. Pitts lit it up. Waddle, I think, was okay. I was actually thinking of the two-touchdown game last week. But it wasn't all good, and we'll be getting to that. But that was my game that surprised.
Cincinnati and Baltimore.
If we had recorded, I was going to take Cincy winning this game. I was not going to pick him winning by 24, though.
That is insane. And sadness for me. In my home league, I had the third pick in the draft, and it's a very running back heavy league. And I'm like, I'm going to get Chase. And I was so happy about it. But I played it off like, oh, I'll settle for Chase. That's fine. Like, I'll get Chase at three. And the guy took him at two, and he's tanking. And he beat me this week because Chase had like 24.
Yeah, well, he had like 34, I think. I mean, well, depending on —
this isn't a PPR league.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Home dynasty. So we have certain groups that prefer one way or another. So
yeah, some swing one way or the other.
But yeah, right? It just blew me out. And I was like having to watch the player I wanted on my roster the entire offseason as I have ETN on my IR.
Yeah, see, I don't have to worry about that because I just took Chase everywhere. Except the one place I traded him away. But I got Justin Herbert, so it's all good. Game that disappointed. What game disappointed you this week?
Honestly, I'm actually going to go with last night's game. I'm going to go with the Saints and Seahawks. It's so freaking obvious that the coaches don't really trust Geno whatsoever. And Jameis looks like a guy that has literally zero confidence, and the team is 4-2. It's crazy. Like, I understand, like, he's been coached to check down, but even when it comes to like any bit of pressure, or he does a pretty good job going through his progressions, but there's just so many things in which you're just like, you can just tell that not even like fearless Jameis making like terrible plays or whatever. There's just not even like a skeleton in his body right now to even go outside of structure and try to make a play. It's nuts. But his receivers are doing him no justice or help either. Like, Traquan, like, you're supposed to be the guy that like ends up being the leader of this wide receiver core right now because you've been there long enough, and he seems like he's more about himself and not even willing to like help Jameis out.
Yeah, I wonder how the NFL feels with back-to-back Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football with Seattle, and then they get Geno Smith. Like, that's tough. You hate to see that.
Last thing about Geno, my favorite part about it was the last play of the game. After all the sacks and stuff, he winds up. Looks like he's going to shoot for a first down. The ball goes 20 yards. The ball didn't even make the first down marker. Yeah. He literally wound up to throw this ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh,
the long DK touchdown where DK didn't score the rest of the game was enough points with the extra reception for Thomas to beat me in your fade to Shane's league.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was like, what? I lost by like one. It was just nuts.
Yeah, there was definitely some tough losses this week that went around. My game that disappointed is going to be Kansas City, Tennessee, because not only did nothing happen for Kansas City, but I mean, Tennessee, you had an AJ Brown week, but besides that, like, Tannehill was like 20 points, Henry was like 16, and like that was it. I'm like, I mean, maybe what did Ferkser score or something? Like, I can't be alone in thinking that this is going to be a great game for fantasy, and it just wasn't, except for AJ Brown, which is thankfully awesome because there haven't been many. But yeah, that game disappointed.
I know Pruitt scored. I really have to question if Julio's done.
He still has looked good early. I didn't see how well he looked in this game per se, because I just didn't watch a ton of it. But like, early on, Tanny was just not good, and Julio was just making sick ass plays like he always does. So I think it's fair to question, though. It's fair to question.
Well, he even had a great play against the Bills early as well, but like, then he just, I'm not even just trying to talk about one week, but it just feels like he just kind of like fades into the background of the offense. And you'd think that he would still be winning on his sides and things like that. And I just, it's weird how like little targets he gets. And I understand there was another play in that same drive that Tanny completely missed him on a touchdown.
Yeah, he's done that a couple times. But the you're right. The fact is that they're not making him a focal point, which is foolish. But maybe he is done, and that's why. I don't think so. But at this point, it's fair to ask that question.
I wonder if he wears down, and then like it might even be a better idea to like play him every other series.
Like a hockey player?
Maybe, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing more Marcus Johnson. He's looked pretty decent.
Who's the other guy?
What are you talking about? Like Achilles Means?
Yeah.
Akina or whatever?
Yeah, the guy that keeps getting all the Julio touchdowns. Yeah. That guy sucks. All right, and that brings us to player that surprised this week. And I'm going to go with QB1, I didn't actually check this, so I think in some leagues. Tua Tagovailoa, dude, absolutely tore it up. I was on record for saying that, this was a while ago, that Tua has negative ceiling, you know, saying that, like, I don't think he'll have a ceiling, like, he'll just be a decent QB. And I think he has, like, more 30-point games than Phillip Rivers has already. And so, yeah, I already said it to Levi, who called me out for it, but yeah, Tua Tagovailoa does have a ceiling when he plays Atlanta.
It throws me around because he threw the pick in the end zone. He threw another bad interception and still finished with that many points. Mm-hmm. And Gesicki is like on fire this year, dude.
Yeah, I saw that he's basically playing like in the slot, or he's a wide receiver. Like he's not even playing as a down lineman at all. So that's good. That's a good thing if you're a Mikey G guy. He was always talented. It's good to see him finally, you know, do it.
Absolutely. And then I'm worrying on the next Penn State tight end to really break out.
Yeah.
I really like Freiermuth. I'm sorry.
I haven't watched him play, but I liked him a lot coming out. But I really haven't seen him play much this year, but I thought he was the most complete tight end for like in real life football, like can block and whatnot. But who surprised you this week?
I'm Dearness Johnsoning it.
Ooh, yeah.
So being a Browns fan, I've watched him before and I thought he'd actually be a better receiving back than he was, like in between the tackles, make good reads. But I saw a little bit of talent and I was like, oh, you know, maybe he'll do something. But like, I didn't ever think that he had any ceiling like this. That was insane. And he's got good feet. Like he's deceptively able to kind of avoid defenders in between the hash marks. And it's very useful in this offense.
Yeah. I mean, imagine what Nick Chubb could do with that workload.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. I just traded Chubb for Cup before this weekend's games on Saturday, and that feels good, even though I'm high as fuck on Chubb and Dynasty. Feels good to get Cup. I had a lot of running backs anyways. But player that disappointed, I'm staying in the same game, and it's Mike Davis. I'm not like saying I expected a lot out of Mike Davis, but Miami's been absolutely just ran over by everybody this year. And I know Cordell Patterson, people finally figured out that they were just trying too hard with, I don't know how you people say it. I say Cordarrelle or Cordarrelle. I think it's changed every time, but it's not that hard. You don't have to think about how to use him. You just have to give him the ball and he'll do like good things with it. And it took until he was 30 years old for people to figure it out. But Mike Davis had like 10 yards or something. Like, what the fuck, dude?
I still don't understand the snap shares. Like, that's what, like, I'm not saying I don't have a foot in or toe in or whatever, but how is it that you know that Cordarrelle does all this good stuff and you don't just let him play?
Yeah.
I don't get it. And Mike Davis is obviously not very good. He's not explosive. He doesn't like even like really earn yards between the tackles either.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah, it wasn't like some great player, but like this was the week where like you kind of felt like, all right, I'll start Mike Davis. It's by apocalypse. Everyone's hurt. Like, I think I could get a top 24 finish. Dude, you got like a top 240 finish out of him. Who disappointed you this week?
I could go for the low-hanging fruit and go Mahomes.
Yeah, that's...
Honestly, I want to go Ridley. No Xavien Howard. A defense that has really folded in Miami most weeks. and a game in which Tua actually pushes the scoreboard a little bit. I understand that they were down and he came back, but it was very minimal in terms of targeting Ridley in positions he could actually do something with it. I know he scored, but like that basically saved his day to become just above average.
Yeah, he's, but what's crazy is I still can't buy him for any discount. It's still, it's more than two firsts to get him. Which is what I'd want, but no one's paying that, really. Yeah, it was disappointing, man. I don't know what the hell the deal is, but at least Pitts is doing his thing.
I still can't get Ayuk on a discount either.
Yeah.
I'm not even just talking about from Omega. I know Omega isn't going to sell him, but like there are other leagues I tried to get him in, and it's like, no thanks. And it's crazy.
Yeah. That's wild too. Like, good on people for not giving up, but it's just surprising to see. That's all.
And I'm not saying I don't value him. I'm obviously trying to trade for him. I'm not one of those people that trash players before they make an offer. Like, that's so stupid.
No, I'm one of those that hypes people up and then trades them. The pump and belt. All right, that's it for best and worst. Let's get to some picks. I already gave out my Green Bay Moneyline freaking hammer pick, all right? We ain't going for just the big favorites, the easy picks. I go for what I feel, and regression's probably about to hit me like a truck because I think I'm like 20-4 between this and my UFC pod. So I'm sure I'm going to regress to the mean like Jacoby Myers hopefully does with his touchdowns. But what do you got for picks? What's your first pick, or how many you got? What are we working with?
Well, honestly, looking at the board, you could go a lot of ways depending on like how much your risk profile is. I'm going to go three this week, but the first one I'm actually going to go for is Titans -1 on the road versus the Colts. Usually the home team is +3 when it's an even matchup. So for them, are -3 when it's close to even matchup if played on like a neutral field. So for the Colts to basically be 4-point dogs at home is a big deal to me. And this just means Titans have to win by more than one, which I kind of expect them to be able to do so. Because if you can't stop Elijah Mitchell in the run game, I don't think that we're going to see a Kyle Shanahan gap in scheme this week or game plan. And Derrick Henry is going to see a decent number of touches both in the first and second half.
Yeah. I don't disagree with it. Divisional games are tough. I'm running a road divisional game. And Colts have played well, which might be adding to this line. But, I mean, so have the Titans. I don't have a great read on the game, but I don't see anything wrong with the pick. I haven't had a lot of time with the lines because, I mean, they just we recorded on Tuesdays, and so they just kind of came out today. So I'm looking at them trying to get some, like, initial – like
I have another one if you want to keep looking.
Yeah, hit me.
The next one is a little bit risky, but I want to go over on the Vikings Cowboys 55. Ooh. I know that number is massive, but I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. And I'm the one that's been pretty down, not down, but I thought that the Vikings offense was going to regress. But the Cowboys still give up yards, and there's opportunities then for, you know, Thielen to work his red zone magic or his goal line magic, and for Jefferson to have a big game. And then we're going to have to see the Cowboys throw back and forth. So I've it's risky, but I really am going to play on the over of 55.
Yeah. If we were here last week or something, right after the Patriots blew that game against the Cowboys, I cannot wait for the Cowboys playoff game because they're going to win their division. They're going to win me a good amount of money because I picked them to win the division preseason, but they are going to lose that first home playoff game in glorious fashion because they are undisciplined swine over there. Like, they are so talented, but good God, do they try to lose some games hard. I can't wait for that. So I'm surprised by some of these lines. Like, it seems like they're kind of where I would want them to be, or even more so. Like, Like, I'm surprised to see that Broncos are a 3-point favorite at home against Washington football team. Like, it seems like the hype is gone with Washington. They have like one of the worst defenses. Remember how sure everyone was about that defense?
I was one of them.
Yeah. Since I'm talking crap about the Cowboys, I'm going to go Vikings money line. They're 2.5-point dogs. So I'm going to go +125. We're going two dogs. And then I think I got a big favorite. Do you have a third pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go Buccaneers on the road, -5.5. I know it's once again, I picked divisional games, which is like not good.
Yeah, it's not, I also it's not
don't,
bad. It's
just... I don't think Jameis is good.
Man. Well, the Saints had their way with Brady twice last year, if you remember their defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that happens again this year, but that's something that I've been thinking about.
And I understand that, like, too, like, is as small as the fast that the run game has been for Tampa, based just on how much they pass, Fournette's been pretty good. And I could see, you know, the Saints kind of, you know, making him kind of neutralized, but I don't think the Saints can keep up scoring points with Tampa. And I know Tampa's defense has been that good, but I really see the Buccaneers kind of jumping all over the Saints this week.
Yeah. They're playing so well.
I picked two road favorites. I'm going to get blown up. You know this.
I picked like one of the biggest road dogs of the week in Green Bay, and I had another dog in Minnesota. So now I wish there were three favorites that I really liked, but I don't. All right. So we're going to do a three pick round robin here, because I like the Chargers. I don't know if I like them by 6. It's at 5.5, which is surprising. I figured there'd be more love for the Patriots after
that. Bet that under.
I don't even like touching totals, man. I suck at totals. I would figure that this game would be like -3 Chargers, and it's at -5.5. So I don't like that. And I still think they do win by 5 or 6, but I don't love the line at that number, and I don't tease. So we're going to do a round robin. If you don't know what that means, is I have three picks, all right? We're going to take Rams at Texans, -900. Bills at home against the Dolphins. Where's the line? Where are you? -850. So I'll be huge dogs, but then Chargers -225. So what we're doing is we're betting three different parlays here, and you know I hate parlays, but if I parlay, I do it like this. It's a round robin. So we have Chargers and Rams, Chargers and Bills, Rams and Bills. So those are three separate two-team parlays. I wish that it would tell me what the odds are, though. I mean, it's -3. The parlay is -127.
I've always noticed is if there's like a line that in the early or beginning parts of the week, you're like, I don't understand that line, and you were looking to make a wager, just sit on it and, you know, see what happens with the movement with the money, because sometimes the lines are set to try to get even bets. I mean, that's kind of the whole purpose, but
yeah.
It may move because money may really come in on one side, which will give you a much bigger indicator. If the spread gets larger, like if it becomes Patriots +7.5, which seems like a really odd number they would pick, but let's just say they do. You may feel more confident than picking the Patriots because you get a little bit more edge where you were kind of already questioning a game, or it could get smaller and then you might want to run Chargers. So,
yeah, I'm still trying to, it won't tell me what the fucking payout will be. This is pissing me off, but whatever. Round robin, Buffalo -850. Rams, LAR -900, and then Los Angeles Chargers -225. So that's three bets. I gave you five bets, but if you want to just do a three pick parlay, it's -127. So I mean, $100 or 127 wins 100, $100 wins $80. So if you wanted to just do a simple three pick parlay, you can go with that. I'm going with the round robin because basically what happens is if two of those teams win, you're going to win a small amount of money. But if all three win, you win three two-leg parlays and you win a quite a bit more money than you would if you just three-pick parlayed them. a little bit confusing. It's really, it's confusing to probably convey, but yeah, you're betting Buffalo, Los Angeles, Buffalo. Oh my God, they're both Los Angeles teams. Holy shit. Bills, Rams, Bills, Chargers, Chargers, Rams. Three different parlays.
Probably the best way I could explain the round robin is think about a box and then you have three separate bets inside that box type thing.
Yeah. 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 All right. We can do a box. Yeah. 1 and 2, 1 and 3, 2 and 3. That's a round robin.
They're all separate, but they all interact at the same time.
Exactly. So if two teams lose, you lose all three bets, which sucks a lot, but that's why I only do it when I have favorites or something I really like. So I'm trying to get rid of the juice of minus 900, minus 850. I'm picking those as like sure things. I mean, that's what everyone's going to be picking in their survivor pools this week, our Rams and Bills. So I'm just trying to get rid of the juice off of the Chargers, but you could just take the Chargers. We could just simplify it and just say I'm picking the Chargers, but I wanted to get complicated for some reason. I don't know. I'm new to podcasting. It's been a while.
I've never really understood why people like to tease stuff so much. Like
I hate that.
We were just in Vegas and like my buddy's like, I'm going to tease by 10. I'm like, you're killing your odds though. You're literally just killing yourself. Like the only time I would ever do it is if I was just doing like a 13 leg parlay and it was just for fun.
Yeah,
and I threw $5 down and like just had fun that way.
I don't even
think you can tease that much, actually, or tease that many teams.
I wouldn't know because I don't do it.
No, I think depending on who offers it, I think it might be limited to like 3 or 5. When I did it on Bovada, I think I could get up to 7, actually.
If you're teasing a game, you just don't feel confident enough in it. So why the fuck are you betting that game?
Yeah.
Like, and then parlays, I don't do them and I don't advise it, but I think they're great fun if you're just going to throw some like 10, 15, 20, whatever, or more money. If you're just throwing it out for some fun money to... That's fine, but if you're in this for the long haul to, you know, pick some games, win some money, it's just it's not viable. It's not the way to do it, man. And I know from experience. I speak from experience here. Also, this week we've got a new terrestrial trades for you. So we're welcoming in Wyatt, and we're gonna kick it right to it here.
What's up, Wyatt?
What's going on, Wyatt?
Not much. How's it going, boys?
Good, and you? I mean, I just asked, but so we're joined by
it's a good joined, start.
Joined by at @YB_FF of the JWB boys.
That is
at @JWB_FF. So we're here to talk trades. Me and Wyatt, we made a trade in the Fade Duchesne's league. And this started off with me trying to make a run for it. And I saw you were kind of trying to sell off. You were currently 10th out of 14. It's a 14 team PPR, your standard league, Superflex. But it's 14 teams. You're right there at 5 and 9. We play against the median. So there's 14 outcomes through 7 weeks. And it was 2 weeks ago we made this deal. It was right before Baker got injured. And I started off with Baker and Diami Brown, who are like my dudes that I've been touting. If you listen to this pod or follow me on Twitter, all I do is talk about Baker and Diami, like at least they're in the offseason. I'm kind of jumping ship. And I sent that for Aaron Rodgers. Now, when I sent that deal, what'd you think? What was going through your head? Were you offended or what were you looking for?
Yeah. So like I've been trying to move Aaron Rodgers basically since we were in the startup draft for this league. Because,
yeah,
you know, the way the draft was going for me, I was kind of already headed towards moving towards the future. I only took Aaron Rodgers because he was just like a value for me where I took him. I think it was like the 410 in a 14 team league, you know, super flex league. And so I just, you know, from the very beginning was like, yeah, I'm probably gonna be selling Aaron Rodgers because I don't think I'm competing. Right. So I, you know, had been looking for a deal basically the entire season. The only reason like I hadn't really gone super hard for anything was because just in case like a few things broke for me, I had some draft capital that I had acquired in the draft that maybe I could make some moves to, you know, change course, but it wasn't, obviously wasn't going that way for me. So, you know, I think I even tried to make a deal with Nubs over here, but that didn't go down. So eventually, you know, we got to something. And, you know, as I wear my Browns hoodie, I'm a Baker fan as well. So I was down to go for Baker, you know, getting some youth there. I like Diami as a prospect. You know, we worked some picks in there. You know, it's basically I was trying to find somebody who needed an upgraded quarterback, and you happen to be that guy.
Actually, I read it wrong. You initiated this with the Rodgers for Baker and Dyami. Interesting. So then I got all greedy and put a second on Rogers' side.
Yeah, yeah.
And added a third on my side. And you were like, dude, will you add another third? And just shut up, get the deal done.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would just randomly like send out feelers to people for Aaron Rodgers trades, and that, yeah, that one was to you was just like just Baker and Dyami, right? I think, and then you countered back with me adding a second and you adding a third.
Yeah,
and I was like, yo, can you throw another third on there for me? Because like, I wanted to get the deal done, and it was like, you know, like I said, I was throwing out feelers. I had never really got anything serious going, so like I was like, well, this is my opportunity. I'm not gonna try and ask for too much here. I just want to kind of get the deal done, but I also wanted a little bit extra. And then I think you actually sent it back with another third, you actually added my 2022 third into it. Like, or yeah. Like, so like it changed the third around so that it was a better third. And I was like, well, whatever. I just don't care.
Yeah. I definitely put the burden on you for being.
Yeah. And then I messaged you afterwards saying like, I saw it. I know that it's there, but I just didn't care.
Yeah. I put the burden on you to be like, are you going to make the stink of, I want that third, not this third.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely did. It was cheesy. It was slimy. And that's how I do. So
I can't fault you for it.
Yeah. The deal ended up being Rogers in a second for Baker, Dyami, and 2/3, 22 and 23/3. I just like it even more and more as I've been fading away from Baker, and this was even before the injury, and it's gotten more so since, obviously, but he didn't take the jump that I was expecting because I wasn't high on Baker last year and he wasn't taking the jump and he was still missing stuff. And I know he's been injured, but I was started thinking like Rodgers is killing it. I'm almost thinking that Rodgers could be more viable for longer than Baker. It's possible.
That isn't that crazy now. Yeah. I mean, like, truthfully, Baker obviously wasn't my first choice or someone to try and get on this move down in age for Rodgers, but like Rodgers was doing nothing for me in that league. Like,
yeah,
it was just purely an asset that I was trying to move because I'm not going to reap the benefits of his play.
Yeah,
with that team.
Yeah, I have an older team. I got Chubb and Henry and Thielen and Woods. And I don't know why I said Woods. What does that matter? But it's another shot at you. I know you're high on him, but yeah, I was trying to win now. And I ended up, this was 2 weeks ago, like I said, and things have changed. That's what happens in fantasy. Things have changed drastically since, but I don't know. What do you make of the deal, Nubs?
Well, he was coming after some of my future firsts for Rodgers. And I was like, it is a 14 teamer. So quarterbacks are very important in this league. And most teams don't even have three. So I'm happy with where I'm at. So when I looked at the trade that you made with him, I think you're going to get a higher level output from Rodgers, but it really is going to depend on like what we get out of Dyami. So before the draft, I thought Dyami could run basically every route. So I think that he has the ability in the future to really build on, you know, hopefully a solid rookie campaign as the season progresses. But I think that if he develops the way that we think, he could probably be a decent wide receiver too on a team. So you have to kind of look at what that 14 team depth looks like. But at this point, I think I'm going to go with the high upside of Rodgers as a team that's contending, that as you are. So I think that's a really good move because we don't know when Baker's going to be back. We don't actually know too how high Baker's ceiling is when it comes to scoring. So I would definitely go on the Rodgers side on this.
Yeah. And again, it's easier than it was when we made the deal. I do think that you will get some use out of Baker and Dyami. I still believe in them. I'm just glad to have gotten out on them.
Yeah. I think for this trade, and it's probably true for a lot of trades that happen in Dynasty, that like, we won't really know.
Yeah.
You know, about this, like it's pretty obvious or pretty easy to just say, you know, like, yeah, Rodgers is doing really well. So like you're reaping the benefits of the trade much more than I will be anytime soon. And it depends on what happens with the picks. Like there's so much to it. Like I'm okay with it just because, like I said, I wasn't going to do anything with Rodgers. Like Rodgers served me no purpose.
He was hurting your rebuild pretty much if you weren't getting assets for him.
Yeah.
And he gets a shot at depth, which is really good. So,
yeah.
Now I'm wondering what he's going to do with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, there's a few pieces that need to get off this team.
The way he's been running, I maybe, feel like maybe he might be able to get a second for him.
Maybe I can float a deal for Melvin Gordon. Who knows? Yeah. We'll see what happens in the future.
I keep occasionally sending some stuff out, but I'm not getting anything, not too much done so far. But we'll see.
Well, I'll keep it open. Thank you for coming on, talking trades. That was this week's terrestrial trade, and check him out. Let me get this at right, at YB_FF. And yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, reach out. We'll talk about Melvin Gordon.
You got it, buddy.
Oh, wait. Oh, I accidentally reported him. I didn't. I meant to press remove. Sorry, why? I didn't send the report. It was like, what did he do? I don't know. He's got too good of a beard.
What did he do? He grew his beard out too long.
That's it. No reviews in. So if you like the show, go give us a review. If you don't like the show, give us a review, but tell us what you don't like. I will read it. That's what I do. But yeah, you got a gripe of the week?
The shipping industry is fucked.
It is.
So just quick synopsis. Part of my job is procurement. So I work a lot internationally with China and just that region. And there's a million boats that have to be unloaded all over the ports around the U.S. And they're just sitting there for weeks. And then it takes forever for them to get unloaded. And then they also then have to get on railroad cars, which then takes 2 to 3 weeks, which shouldn't take that long whatsoever. But it's just so everything's so backed up. And we're trying to like plan for releases and things like that. And it's just not working whatsoever.
Yeah. Not to be a doomsday prep artist, but things are going to be start getting tough to get here in a little bit. I think I've saw like get your holiday shopping done early because it might not be there
absolutely in a
couple months.
Absolutely.
My gripe of the week is buying Twitter accounts. I'm glad. I think it's wild how much this has blown up because I thought it was just going to be a small sect. Just my own gripe, and I have an axe to grind because Bloody Sunday was a douchebag, and I hated the guy, the kid, the child. I'm not gonna. He's not a guy. He's a kid. He was a douchebag, and like in douchebag form, he sold this account and then made a great goodbye, and then he brings in another douchebag who takes over it. So like, but then the guy plays victim. All right, so imagine I buy Fantasy Counselor's account, and then everyone hates me because I'm on Fantasy Counselor's account, and I go, "Why do you guys hate me? Give me a chance. What do you think's gonna happen, dude?" That's my gripe, dude. That's my gripe. Had to get it out.
I told you I thought he sold it. Yes! I told you.
I didn't think it was real, but he actually came out and said it, and it was $50.
What?
He said it was
$50.
Yes, he was talking about Mike Evans and the football. Oh, it was $500,000. And then someone said, like, he bought your account for $50. He's like, $50 I could make up. $500,000, I'd be set up for life. I couldn't believe it. I cannot believe it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's still that same kid just doing like a PR stunt or something. But anyways, the whole situation is just hysterical. The cringe, the secondhand embarrassment. Oh, I love it.
I haven't seen any of the new postings, but I hear that they're really bad. Like they're mean or whatever.
Well, maybe it's probably the same guy. I mean, he was just a douchebag who had very shallow, subjective fanboy essays as threads that had no substance at all. If you read them, you're just like, you're just a fanboy who's picking anything up. Stop disrespecting F1! Wide receiver 11 ADP! Who the fuck is disrespecting F1? Me. Because I said 17. Ooh. All right. What's your highlight?
You got internet.
Yes.
My birthday was on Sunday. I got internet and I can finally function inside my house. My pool has been just completely disgusting because I have a tree that drops acorns into it.
Oof.
And I have a pool cleaning company that comes and does my pool. But I called them off because I was like, just wait till I cut this tree down. So I came home and I cut this tree down. The reason why I brought up internet is because I'm getting a pool robot that I can run off Wi-Fi and like it'll do a bunch of self-cleaning and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that now because I was like, there's no purpose in me buying it until I figure out what I'm going to do with this tree. So I'm very excited. A lot of things are coming into place. I have a lot of stuff still to do. I basically packed everything and then didn't dejunk clothes before I moved. And I'm realizing that I'm fat now and there's a lot of stuff that doesn't fit anymore. But I have really cool, really good and cool clothes, like nice clothes that just don't fit.
That sucks. My highlight is I went climbing again tonight. I haven't been to the climbing gym in a while, and it was a lot of fun. I sucked, not in good shape, a little heavy, but it was still fun, you know, still sent some top rope routes. Yeah, that was my highlight. It was a good little time there.
This man after work goes to the climbing gym and then he goes to chess club.
Yeah, that's, well, chess club's tomorrow.
He just runs back and forth doing all this little cool shit.
Yeah, I'm a man of many hobbies and few talents. But that's it. Anything else for the peoples?
Actually, there was something that was bothering me. When tags passed, I didn't pay respect, and I had a lot of respect for him because of all the stuff that went on with like Bobby and stuff. And he was like a shining light through that, a beacon before and after that. And I like was kicking myself because I'm like, I didn't bring this up, and it kind of bothered me. So I just wanted to kind of pay a little recognition to the fact that I never met him or anything like that, but just like Fantasy Pros was like the first thing I listened to because I was looking for something to mock draft on, and that's what I found. And then they had a YouTube channel, so I watched that or whatever. So I'm not saying like I, you know, whatever, but I he will be missed is all I can say.
You know, not to keep on with the somber mood or end with it, but something that I actually wanted to say is a Rainbow Six Siege esport caster. All right, Rainbow Six Siege is the best video game. I'm a video game player. It's the best game I've ever played. I played it thousands of hours. It's the best strategy shit ever. It's the only game I've ever like watched the esport realm of, like. And there was this streamer caster, Kickstar Michael Stockley, 24 years old, and he was just the best. He was like the play-by-play. He was like the Tony Romo of this esport. And he passed away in a car accident a couple weeks ago. And actually, it hit pretty hard. I was like, wow. He was like the tags of Rainbow Six, I guess. So that's something I just wanted to say. There's not many people I can talk to about it because no one really pays attention to the Rainbow Six esport realm. But he's another one that will be missed. He was amazing at his craft. He was very young. And yeah, it's sad to see him go. So, love y'all. Thanks for listening. Sorry to end like that, but you know, we give you plenty of laughs. Sometimes it's good to get a little tender, let you in a little bit. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.